Oh, they finally pissed off Generation X. Guys, I don't know what the final straw was. I'm not 100% sure what the final straw was, but it's happened. They finally pissed off Generation X, and America should be afraid. You guys really don't understand what you did. Do you understand that they quit doing the draft because of Generation X? You can't tell us what to do. You can't make us do anything. Generation X grew up drinking from rubber hoses, and now we've got little straw filters in our closet where we can drink out of mud puddles and filter the damn water. I mean, Generation X danced in mosh pits, and we came home from parties with broken noses and orbital sockets, and it was fun. We called it fun. They made it illegal. The way that we used to party, they made illegal, and y'all went and pissed off Generation X. Hey, good luck, all of you politicians. The boomers have been keeping y'all in power for years and years. You have pissed off Generation X. They're not going to vote for you anymore. They're literally gathering supplies and shit. It's all over the internet. I'm getting freaked out. You pissed off Generation X. They can live without internet or power. They don't care. They're not worried if you shut down every satellite. Generation X can read maps. They know how to read books. Yeah, and they're not illiterate. It's crazy. We were the last generation where you actually cared about reading, writing, and arithmetic, and it would blow your mind how many of us have been to prison and or the military. It's crazy that y'all pissed off Gen X. You just had to do it. You just push and you push and you push. And now you got Gen X out here talking about, hey, boys, get your shit. Are you serious right now? Oh, this is getting good. I'm getting my popcorn. I can't wait. Peace and love.
So, I think the greatest part about the Great Awakening is that people are starting to figure out that we've been lied to about everything. That everything that we thought was true is not. And more importantly, they're starting to figure out why.
A lot of people don't know this about the school system. In 1903, John D. Rockefeller founded the General Education Board, and within 5 years, adjusted for inflation, he would go on to donate over $1.27 billion. In Rockefeller's own words, "I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers." The school system was made to turn you into a slave. Thinking critically and seeking truth are acts of rebellion.
Lots of truths are coming to light. Like the Lavron affair and the origin of the false flag.
Lavron affair, part of history you were never taught. The Lavron affair was a false flag operation carried out by Israel in Egypt in 1954. Israel was concerned about the rise of Egyptian nationalism under President Gamal Abdel Nasser and feared the strengthening ties between Egypt and Western powers, especially the U.S. So Israel came up with a plan. The operation was codenamed Operation Susanna, or as it is commonly referred to now, Lavron Affair. Israeli military intelligence recruited Egyptian Jews and undercover Israeli agents to orchestrate a series of bombings targeting American and British-owned institutions in Egypt. The goal was to blame the attacks on the Muslim Brotherhood, Egyptian communists or local nationalists, and damage relations between Egypt and the Western powers, particularly the U.S. and the U.K. During the month of July in 1954, the operatives carried out a series of bombings targeting American and British-owned civilian facilities in Cairo and Alexandria. The targets included cinemas, libraries, American educational centers, post offices on July 2nd. The agents detonated bombs at a post office in Alexandria. On July 14th, they bombed the libraries of the U.S. Information Agency in Alexandria and Cairo and a British-owned theater. The homemade bombs, consisting of bags containing acid placed over nitroglycerin, were inserted into books and placed on the shelves of the libraries just before closing time. Several hours later, as the acid ate through the bags, the bombs exploded. On July 23rd, an incendiary bomb went off in the pocket of one of the agents outside the British-owned theater in Alexandria. On October 5th, 1954, Egypt announced the arrest of a 13-man spy ring Egypt concluded that the operation was ordered by the Israeli Secretary of Defense, Pinchas Levon, hence the name Levon Affair. The 13 agents consisted of Egyptian Jews and undercover Israelis. Two were acquitted. One of the Israeli agents, Max Bennett, who lived himself on arrest. One unalived himself in prison. Two more were unalived, and the rest were sentenced to lengthy prison terms. The Levon Affair meant that Israel lost significant standing and credibility in its relations with the U.S. and the U.K., which took years to repair. In 2005, Israel publicly honored the surviving spies by presenting them each with a certificate of appreciation for their efforts on behalf of the state, ending decades of official denial by Israel that the operation ever took place. The Levon Affair serves as proof that false flag operations are not off the table when it comes to Israel.
So here's something to think about. If something's true, do governments around the world really need to pass laws preventing people from questioning it? Is it necessary to have laws that if you deny any aspect of this, it's a crime? Would you need to spend billions of dollars to make sure foreign countries tow your narrative? Would you need to spend billions of dollars to make sure education systems around the world tow your narrative? The truth is like a lion. You just need to set it free and it defends itself. So what does that tell you? Only lies need laws to prevent people from questioning the truth.
If your version of history is true, then why do you need to make sure nobody questions it? Why do you need to spend billions of dollars to make sure that foreign governments are telling your version of history? Why do you need to set up entire institutes to make sure that your version of history is written into the curriculum of school children in foreign countries? If your version of history is true, why do you feel the need to threaten, harass, and intimidate activists, journalists, and historians who deviate from your official narrative? Why do you need to push for laws that criminalize alternative interpretations of your history? Why is it that any deviation from your official narrative has to be labeled anti-Semitic and immediately dismissed? Why do you so desperately need to enlist the help of Western media to make sure that your version of history is the only one that gets told? If your version of history is true, then why do you need to slander anyone who questions it? Why must you go to such extraordinary lengths and trouble to codify your propaganda into guidebooks, textbooks, history books, and geography books? Why do you need to manipulate public opinion, suppress scholarly inquiry, and instill the fear of social and professional disaster into the minds of anyone who deviates from your narrative? If your version of history is true, then why are you so afraid of its ability to withstand public debate and scrutiny? If your version of history is true, then why do you need to hide from it?
Now, once in a while, you will get a Jew that will say the truth. Now, of course, she walked all of this back, but rings true to me. And if she was saying this in communist Canada here, you know, that she could be arrested because it's a crime to state the obvious.
And that is the truth. And nobody died in the Holocaust either. No. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It should happen. 6 million Jews should die right now because they cause all the problems in the world, but it never happened. But it never happened.
Yeah.
So there are some very obvious questions that need to be answered. And does it make sense at all for history to not be questioned? Isn't that a historian's job? But this one event, you cannot do that because it's against the law.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? You know, people sometimes ask me, how do you know that the Holocaust actually happened? And I simply reply, because the law says so. That's why.
The Holocaust is a lie. The Holocaust is a lie.
There are no pictures, plans, or wartime documents dealing with gas chambers or any plan to exterminate the Jews during the supposed Holocaust. And we can't use the excuse that the Nazis destroyed all of that evidence because after we broke the German codes, we were able to intercept their secret transmissions, including those from Auschwitz. There were no plans ever discussed, no numbers discussed, no techniques, no orders given. Zyklon B was in widespread use throughout Europe at the time for pest control, and it's found in all of the concentration camps, including those that are not said to have had gas chambers in them. Aerial photos taken of Auschwitz during the war show no signs of people being gassed, bodies being burned, or the stores of fuel that would be required to power the crematoriums. World War II lasted a total of 6 years. Assuming that Hitler started gassing Jews since day one, that makes for 3,153,600 minutes. 6 million Jews killed during 3,153,600 minutes comes out to 1.9 Jews per minute. That means Hitler killed roughly one Jew every 30 seconds. In Auschwitz, the most famous and biggest concentration camp, there are 15 crematoriums. According to Auschwitz survivors, Jews would go into the chamber, gassed for 15 into 20 minutes, then put into the oven. It takes 1 hour to cremate a body using modern furnaces, which operate at much higher temperatures than the traditional ovens at the camp. However, let us say that the ovens were operating at a level that we see today. That means it would take 1 hour, 20 minutes to gas and burn 15 Jews, assuming they were all burned simultaneously. This is, of course, disregarding the time it would take for the gas to empty the chamber, for the bodies to be transported from the chamber to the oven. The elevators used to transport bodies were very slow and could only take up 7 bodies at a time with their weight capacity. However, for our greatest ally, we're going to assume that the bodies were magically teleported instantly from chamber to oven as soon as they were deceased. That means 15 Jews were gassed and burned every 1.5 hours. That comes out to exactly 300 Jews every 24 hours. Assuming the gassing and burning of the Jews was happening every hour straight without stopping for 6 years on an uninterrupted basis, the total number of killed Jews would be 657,000 for those 6 years. The official tally is that 4 million Jews were killed at Auschwitz alone. Even at the other official story of 2.5 million, only then it adds up, but assuming for 3.1 million minutes of 24/7 gassing. That's way more than existed, of course. We would need some time travel. Supposed gas chambers do not have gasketed doors. They do not have fireproof switches, bulbs, or wiring. The gas is flammable. And the inlets in the roof that are said to have been the point of introduction for Zyklon crystals were, according to senior officials, added after the war. Dr. Francis Piper, the senior curator and director of archives at the Auschwitz State Museum, admitted on camera to David Cole that Crema 1, the alleged gas chamber at Auschwitz main camp, was in fact a reconstruction built by the Soviets after the war under direct orders from Stalin. This includes the fake chimney that is not even connected to the crematorium. There's pictures of that. In 1988, an execution equipment expert, a gentleman named Lukter, who created the famous or infamous, perhaps, Lukter report, conducted forensic examinations of the gas chambers. He took samples from 4 chambers at Birkenau, the one at the main camp at Auschwitz, and a control sample from one of the disinfectant chamber, the disinfestation chambers that we know used Zyklon B. It was used to deal with the lice problem. The gas chamber showed almost no traces, whereas the disinfestation sample went literally off the scale. In 1990, the Institute for Forensic Research in Krakow attempted to refute these results, and their own tests came back with identical results. Denying the Holocaust, by the way, is a criminal offense, and it carries a prison sentence in several European countries. The Holocaust is the only event in history to be enforced by law, and it's the only conspiracy theory we'll talk about tonight that simply suggesting is literally against the law in 15 countries in Europe.
Now, even today, the gas chambers, if you go to Auschwitz, like Elon Musk did, you go check out the tour and all the propaganda, there's wooden doors. Wooden doors. Does that make sense to you? Does it? Do they do that today?
Hey everybody, Sam Parker here. Listen, I wanted to share something with you that I learned recently that's really cool. Every day, I have to come get treatment inside this little gas chamber for a recent medical condition. But when I first came, I was concerned that it wouldn't work because, as you can see, there's no wooden door. And in fact, there are no wooden doors on any of the gas chambers at this facility. And so I was very concerned about this. And so I asked the doctor, said, hey, why don't you use wooden doors on your little gas chambers? And he said, well, you know, if we used wooden doors, I mean, they wouldn't form the proper seal that would keep the outside air out and the gas on the inside in. Plus, wood doesn't have the strength required to maintain the pressure that you need to maintain full gas efficacy on the inside. It's like, whoa, mind blown, right? You learn something new every day, folks.
Well, there must be other proof. What about, you know, the school curriculum in the United States where they make everyone understand and read the Diary of Anne Frank? Surely that must be true, right?
Impressionable children in middle school are also instructed to read the Diary of Anne Frank, which now probably is the pinnacle of the Holocaust theory. The 15-year-old girl Anne Frank and her father, Otto Frank, were deported from the Netherlands to Auschwitz in September 1944. Otto was treated in the hospital at Auschwitz. Several weeks later, in the face of the advancing Soviet army, Anne was evacuated along with many others to the overcrowded Bergen-Belsen camp. Tens of thousands of Jewish survivors chose to leave Auschwitz and go west by January of 1945 with the very same people who had supposedly been murdering them every day for years. Anne Frank died of typhus in March 1945. However, the original diary manuscript was forensically examined by the German State Forensic Bureau, the Bundeskriminalamt. Their analysis determined that significant portions of the work were written with a ballpoint pen. Since ballpoint pens were not available to everyone before 1951, portions of the work were added well after the war. Handwriting experts determined after closer examination of the originals that all of the writing in the diary was by the same hand, and the BKA determined that none of the diary handwriting matched known examples of Anne's real handwriting. The true author of the diary was Jewish novelist Meir Levine, who demanded and was awarded $50,000 in payments for his work in a court action against Anne's father, Otto Frank. The truth about the Anne Frank diary was first exposed in 1959 by the Swedish journal Fria Ord. It established that the Jewish novelist Meir Levine had written the dialogue of the diary and was demanding payment for his work in a court action against Otto Frank. An extract from the Swedish articles appeared in the American Economic Council letter, April 15, 1959, as follows. History has many examples of myths that live a longer and richer life than truth, and may become more effective than truth. The Western world has for some years been made aware of a Jewish girl through the medium of what purports to be her personally written story, Anne Frank's diary. Any informed literary inspection of this book would have shown it to have been impossible as the work of a teenager. A noteworthy decision of the New York State Supreme Court confirms this point of view, in that the well-known American Jewish writer, Meir Levine, has been awarded $50,000 to be paid him by the father of Anne Frank as an honorarium for Levine's work on the Anne Frank diary. Evidence compiled by Dr. Robert Farrison of France establishes that the famous diary is a literary hoax. After doing substantial research, Professor Farrison stated, "The truth obliged me to say that the Diary of Anne Frank is only a simple literary fraud."
And then we have the first-hand accounts, right? That has to be reliable. That has to be true. Like the time that the Jews were so hot in the rail cars that they sizzled to death when water was thrown at them.
Now it mean a lot, but in Plaszow, after the liquidation of Plaszow concentration camp, they put us in a those trains, cattle trains, locked in all around, and happened to be in a summer time. It was very hot. People were dying for air because there were just two windows on each side. And everybody was yelling, water, 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 the whole train. So this is what they did. They opened up a hydrant and they gave us water. Now what happens if you put cold water on a stove? It'll sizzle. And we were just like in a wagon. And a lot of people died then with the water. But the whole world didn't care.
Yeah, that's definitely plausible. Of course they sizzled to death when water was put on them. And then there was that time, you know, that the evil Nazis made the Jews watch quadriplegic dwarves having sex. Sure.
I don't know why, but there were also אז לקחו, היה אחת שם בדוח אדון לוי, או לוי, שהיה מה שאני קורא קוואדרופלג, זאת אומרת, גם הידיים שלו לא כל כך תפקוד וגם הרגליים, והביאו צועניה, זה כנראה עדיין כשהצוענים עוד נשארו אחד פה ושם, השכיבו אותה על הרצפה, שמו אותו להזדווגות, את מגמד, עליה, וכולנו היינו צריכים לראות, אסור היה, אם מישהו היה מזיז את הראש, לא רק תאומים, יכול היה לקבל כדור בראש, מהגרמנים. אותו אדון לוי, הוא גם נפטר תוך יום. עכשיו, מזה, בכלל הוא היה כבר חולה מאוד, זה אני לא יודע.
So why am I covering all of this? Well, because history is a lie, and it's written by the victors. And, you know, everything that we've been taught is a lie, and without that Holocaust card to play the eternal victim, where would they be? How would they be able to manipulate? They couldn't.
In a country known as Germany, the same Germany that Judea declared war on in 1933, when this man named Adolf won the most popular democratic election in all of Europe. He did. And because we get our history from the victors write history, don't they? Because we get our history from them, it basically means that we don't know shit. We only know what they told us, just like what they told us about Palestine. Judea declared war on Germany. 14 million Jews of the world unite, calling for the destruction of Germany. Did you know that? By that logic, by the way, wouldn't you have a defense to like fight these people and maybe even them if they're declaring war and 14 million around the world are uniting, calling for the destruction of Germany? How many people know that? That's a fact. That's not my opinion. That's an absolute fact.
Now, since we're trying to figure out the truth here and discern what really happened in history so we can understand what's happening today. You know, even I, you know, make mistakes. Except for I'm man enough to admit when I make a mistake. And my mistake was the Hasbara Agreement and Hitler being a pro-Zionist. Turns out that's not really what happened. That the original plan was to send them to a camp in Madagascar, because it's an island, and that it was really France and, of course, England that were the Zionists. Now, so I'm going to retract earlier episodes that I did exposing this, because, you know what, turns out I might have been wrong.
There's a lot of annoying trolls on BitChute who go around saying that Hitler is actually a Zionist and is pro-Jewish because of the Havara Agreement. What was the Havara Agreement? In 1933, Nazi Germany made a deal with the British Empire to transport 60,000 Jews from Germany to Palestine. Palestine at the time was a British colony. So the NS camps were holding Jews so that they could be transported out of Europe. And in the Havara Agreement, the Jews were transported to Palestine, 60,000 Jews. In 1931, the Jewish population in Palestine was around 174,000. After the full project of the Havara Agreement was completed, in 1936, the Jewish population in Palestine was around 384,000. Today, the hyper-Zionist war criminal Israeli state is not only stealing all of the Palestinian land, but Israel is also constantly murdering Palestinian citizens. Now, first of all, in 1920, the British Empire enacted the Mandate for Palestine. This was a large amount of Jews immigrating into what was at the time Palestine. The Mandate for Palestine also forced Palestinian Arabs to comply with these plans. So before these trolls continue on with their ramble, Hitler is the reason Palestinians are oppressed. Hitler created Israel. Let me stop you there. No. The hyper-Zionist British Empire created Israel. Without the British Empire's mandate for Palestine, there would have never been an Israel to begin with, and the Jews would still not have their own state, but would rather be parasitically living in goyim nations without a state of their own. Here's something I bet you didn't know. The original plan of the Waffen-SS was to deport every Jew in the world into Madagascar. Yes, the original plan was to send all Jews to Madagascar. Don't believe me? Let's start with Paul Anton de Lagarde. This was a German pagan living during the late 1800s. He was very opposed to Christianity and was very opposed to Jews. In 1878, Paul Anton had written about the Madagascar plan. Paul Anton, he hated that Jews parasitically leached off of the European Gentile nations. He recognized the British Empire for being a Jewish capitalist shithole of scum, aka the East India Trading Company working with international Jews to spread world Jewry. So he wanted all the Jews to be deported into Madagascar, but that's not all. Once the Jews are deported there, they would be living under a German Empire puppet state. The Jews must abide by the laws of the puppet state, otherwise the Jews are going to misbehave like they do today, and they drag white men into these Zog wars that we have nothing to do with, and white men end up dying for the Jews in these Zog wars. So Paul Anton wrote about this in 1878, and he spoke about this, the Madagascar plan, to move every Jew in the world into Madagascar, and to heavily surveillance the Jews under a puppet state until later plans are conducted. The Waffen-SS, Heinrich Himmler, the Thule Society, they all were following this original plan, the Madagascar plan. You can just Google it, the Madagascar plan. So when the National Socialist regime got into power, why didn't they fall through with their original plan? Why didn't they use Madagascar for the Jewish puppet state, and instead they ended up resorting to just sending German Jews into Palestine? Well, the Nazis tried very hard to send the Jews to Madagascar and create this puppet state, but the problem is that Madagascar was a French colony at the time, and the French Empire was not cooperating with the NS. Even after the NS had defeated the French were still being very difficult to cooperate with. The greedy French Empire was simply not allowing Germany to enact the Madagascar plan. Ever since the 1920s, the NS and the Waffen-SS was trying to complete the Madagascar plan, but the French Empire was being a pain. So the NS set up all these transit camps, and all these Jews are sitting in these camps, but they're not going anywhere because France is not allowing the Germans to send them to Madagascar. Eventually, the Germans had to make a choice. We either stop the deportation operation and let the Jews continue to linger in Germany and infest us, or we could resort to sending them to Palestine. Palestine was the only place that Germany could cooperate with because at the time it was a British colony and the British had still enacted the Mandate for Palestine, which was the British Empire's mandate that Palestinian Arabs must comply with mass Jewish immigration into their lands. So yes, today Israelis are still stealing away Palestinian land and are oppressing the Palestinian people. And yes, it's true, NS Germany had to resort to working with Britain's mandate for Palestine, but you must remember why. These Jews in the NS camps were originally sitting in those camps waiting to be deported to Madagascar under the Madagascar Plan. When that plan failed, thanks to the French, now the NS had to resort to sending all the Jews to the only place that will accept them, and that is British-occupied Palestine under the Mandate for Palestine. This is why the Havara Agreement happened. So before you go around saying stupid shit like, Hitler created Israel, Hitler is the biggest Zionist in the world, no. The British Empire was the Zionist Empire. The British spread international Jewry with Jewish capitalism, working with the Sassoon family, the Rothschilds. All the Jewish elites were thriving through the British Empire. Britain and France are the ones who created Israel. Israel was already created under the British Empire's Mandate for Palestine, enacted in 1920. The NS simply had nowhere else to send the Jews because the original plan was delayed. Madagascar is a perfect puppet state for the Jews because it's an island where they can't escape from, so they can't run off and camouflage into your Goyim nations anymore. Madagascar would have been easy to surveillance. So no, Hitler was not a Zionist. Today through AIPAC, we give Israel all our money to fund their wars, and we do not surveillance the Jews. The Jews surveillance us. When we do anything anti-Semitic, the Zionists are immediately trying to get us into legal trouble. The Nazis had the opposite plan. We are supposed to surveillance the Jews, not the Jews surveillancing us. The Jews were supposed to live under an NS puppet state. The USA right now is a puppet state of the Zionists, of the Jews. The opposite of what the Nazis wanted within the Madagascar plan. Hitler would not have approved of any of the shit going on right now. He would not have approved of AIPAC. He would not have approved of the ADL harassing people who criticize Jews. No. Hitler, Himmler, the NS, they were anti-Zionists. The British Empire? Fuck the British Empire. The British were the Zionists. Also the French and the USA, they were the real Zionist Jewish supremacists. So get it fucking right.
Now, this stuff is really important, because if you look around, it becomes increasingly obvious that the Overton window has shifted big time.
So they are safe. I don't want my grandchildren and great-grandchildren becoming a persecuted, potentially, minority in the country their ancestors built. That is just simply not acceptable. And that is the destiny that, if the current trajectory of things is allowed to continue, that's their destiny. I would be a shit grandparent or shit great-grandparent if I allowed that to happen. And I love them more, even though they don't exist yet, I love them more than I love these fucking random Indians coming in. Who have their own country, by the way. And who, frankly, I don't like them. I don't like the way they smell, the way they look. I don't like their culture. I don't like how they talk. I don't like their way of life. And I have the right not to like them. They might not like me too. I don't care whether they like me or don't like me. I have the right not to like them. I don't have to like everyone. I want to have a country in which people like me are in charge, where my culture is maintained, where my way of life is maintained. And I want that to be passed down to my children. And I don't care if I have to fight for it and some people have to get hurt, if that's what's necessary.
Oh.
The German nation does not wish its interests to be determined and controlled by any foreign nation. France to the French, England to the English, America to the Americans, and Germany to the Germans. We are resolved to prevent the settlement in our country of a strange people which was capable of snatching for itself all the leading positions in the land.
We all have one common enemy. His name is Satan, and right now his minions are trying to run this country.
The German nation does not wish its interests to be determined and controlled by any foreign nation. France to the French, England to the English, America to the Americans, and Germany to the Germans. We are resolved to prevent the settlement in our country of a strange people which was capable of snatching for itself all the leading positions in the land and to oust it.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it.
On September 11th, 2001, were perhaps the most shocking and terrifying events in U.S. history.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli.
And I could see that they were, like, happy. I thought it was very strange.
They have to get the blessings of this country before they can swear an oath to our Constitution. They won't get any spotlight in the Zionist-funded media. And one of the scariest things in the world is that nobody is willing to admit that. Nobody wants to have that conversation. Why is our army not arresting pedophiles who put their dicks in little kids' faces during the whole month of June?
Kill me, sue me, everybody do me, kick me, kite me, don't jump like a fight.
Jewish watchword, workers of the world unite, workers of all classes and of all nations, recognize your common enemy, recognize your common enemy.
If that's the one sensitive subject that nobody wants us to talk about, then I think it's pretty obvious that's the thing that we should be talking about.
The Jews will control the world.
They don't really care about us.
See the mustache man being vindicated like that in this lifetime? I didn't. Where his speeches are now being sung. You know, and there's a lot of truth to the things he said, man, if you dig into it. You know, and you find out the reasons why he was so against the Jew. And here's a clip from a Special Forces veteran that went to Israel and saw them in their natural habitat. And he confirms that they are from their father, the devil.
I thought the Israeli Jews would somehow be different from American Jews. Less materialistic, more noble, more honest, you know, that kind of thing. Right. Not the salt of the earth or anything, don't even go that far. But I thought I would see a little different kind of people. And what I found out is that they were even worse. They were even more evil, if that's possible, than Jews here. And what, as you asked me, what prompted me as the graduation of series of experiences, because of the nature of the people that I was with, the intelligence community, and got to go places where no tourists at all could ever get to go. Proving grounds in the Negev deserts. I watched the new Merkava 4K film maneuvers, met with top leading Israeli leaders, military leaders, etc., etc., inside Gaza and Hebron and all this other stuff. Right. And I started seeing things that, and remember, I'd already seen a lot of bad stuff. I didn't fall out of a tree yesterday. I was just almost in disbelief at the capacity for evil and cruelty that these Israelis had. I mean, they were purely, you know, when I first saw that thing in the Bible about you are the of your father, the devil, I thought, well, Jesus said this, but maybe somehow he meant this as an analogy, you know, something like that. No. Then I understood he meant it exactly as he said it. These people have a demonic heritage. I really, really believe that because I've seen, I've worked with other military, the Soviets, I did undercover work in Central America. I was with Czechs, Bulgarians, terrorists from Ecuador, Chinese, you name it. That's another whole story I won't take up your time with. But I had never seen anything with the abysmally evil cruelty, sadistic cruelty of the Jew. The Jew has no compassion, no morals, no conscience, nothing, absolutely nothing. He can kill a five-year-old child and go out and have a beer 5 minutes later with his friend and brag about it, and literally does. I've witnessed this kind of thing. These people are monsters. They're absolute monsters.
You'd agree that there's a certain continuity between Operation Cast Lead, the massacres that took place in 1947 and 48, and of course up to the very present day, right now, today's date, November the 17th, 2012, that this continuum is continuing right now in Gaza as we speak. And I think a lot of the dirty work that's going on in Gaza right now with supremacist Judaism is at night. That's when the real killing fields open up. Out of the light of day and out of those cameras and all the rest of it. And I can only imagine the hell that the people of the Gaza Strip are going through last night, tonight, and probably every night for the next several weeks or month until this creature called supremacist Judaism gets her bloodlust fix and stands down only to wait for the next show.
No, you're right there. They have no qualms about shooting newsmen or reporters. Like I said, these people have, let me repeat it, and if I have to repeat it 10 times on your show, permit me. They have no morals, they have no ethics, they have no souls. They are not like you and I. And I spent enough time with them here and there. I'm not 40 years old. I'm double that. I've been around the world. I've been here. I've been there. Seen that. Done that. I'm not easily fooled. And I don't make rash decisions or conclusive snap decisions about people. These creatures are true life monsters. But they're very good. They're very good at what they do. They hide everything. They all have this capacity for what I call a Janus complex. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and unless they speak, right, but if you're on the inside, they, like I said, like I was, you get to see them without their mascara. I think that's probably Mark Glenn's euphemism, which I coined, if he didn't mind. And you see the Jews without their mascara. And do you remember that sci-fi horror movie? I forget what it was called, Them or They or... You know, the guy had to wear the sunglasses?
Yes, I do. Romp and Roddy Piper and with the sunglasses that could be used to spot these aliens that had...
Yeah, nobody believed them, and all of a sudden they were among everybody, but you couldn't... Yeah. They looked kind of like everybody else. See, that's the way
they live, right. They live,
and, yeah. But with these special glasses, my special glasses were... by immunity from not being perceived as an outsider. So I saw them for what they really were. And,
right.
I mean, the nastiness, the cruelty, you earlier made an apology to a lady for something about language. And frankly,
yes,
you should, if you were, of course you shouldn't use language like that in your own, of your own volition. But if you're paraphrasing to make a point, you need to do that because people don't understand. They're naive. And they think, oh, no, well, maybe these people just said that they didn't believe Christ was the Messiah. So, no, you're not getting the point. You don't get the point. This drunk kid, I won't repeat it on your show for a sense of decorum, but just put in what worst words you can think of. And this drunk Israeli comes up to a Christian landowner who's been there with his people for 1,500 years, and he's threatening the guy. He's armed. And he said, we crucified your blank-like Jesus, and we'll crucify him again. You know, you can take your blank-like Jesus and blank-blank-blank-blank. The most vile language that you can possibly imagine from this filthy, nasty, maggot-infested Jew, a young guy.
So it seems like lying and cheating and stealing is like a Jew's favorite thing to do. Now here in Canada, we had rebel Jews, right? The controlled opposition. They seem to be standing up and speaking the truth during the COVID hoax, but they made lots of shekels in doing it, raising a bunch of money that very seldom did it ever completely go. How much did they keep for themselves? And here's Tommy Robertson, you know, another Mossad agent, this guy here, with this is the scheme that they're pulling. This is their scam. He didn't make enough money. There's not that much support for him to do a tour. And so they played this hoax. And so this girl's testifying to it. And they actually went through with it. These people will never change, man. Never change.
The first night we went out and, you know, it was Diet Coke night and we weren't drinking and everybody kept it sober. And then he said the next day, he's like, "Oi, I want to go for chicken korma." So he goes, "I know a guy in the UK and his cousin owns a restaurant in Montreal. We're going there." And then we met the owner of the restaurant. And that's when, he started offering us drugs. And I would say that Tommy held on as long as he could. But after, you know, he was white knuckling his sobriety. And, you know, he's very ADHD and he's very, like, he's very twitchy. And that's when, you know, somebody broke out the cocaine. And then, you know, I was a witness to trips to the bathroom. And then out came the vodka cokes. And next thing you know, a dragon had been unleashed in this man. And I was like, ooh. And that's when people are going, uh-oh, we have a problem here. He went missing from the hotel. People were panicking. Nobody wanted to go search for him. And I'm like, there is a white boy out there, like, looking for cocaine, guys. And if something happens to him, this is going to be a fucking international incident. And so we did lean into Ravi, the drug dealer, and said, "Where the fuck is he?" And this kind of thing. And we are going to roast you and cook you if you don't. And so he gave us the number of a massage parlor. And it, like, was like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm thinking in my head, like, I've got an interview planned for him with some VIPs, and I'm really not sure if he's going to be okay. And everybody's like, "Shut up, Bethan. Just, you know, be silent. We need to let it run its course." Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And so I left Montreal. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. He wouldn't come out, or he wasn't around. And so I went back and I did receive a few texts going, "Right, you are, that's over. Get used to it, girls. You know, I'll be fresh as a daisy tomorrow." And I'm like, okay, fresh as a daisy tomorrow. Right. And,
he did tell you, he did say something in passing. He was drunk and high.
Yes. Yeah. So while we were coming back into the hotel, he's like, "Right, tour's over. We've sold no tickets." I think they'd sold like 60 tickets. And I'm thinking, like, how are they going to do $80,000? And they've sold 60 tickets at, you know, $550. Like, so 60 times 50. I'm like, you know, they probably made $3,000. Like, that's not even close to $80,000. Like, how are they going to do this? And he's like, "I'm going to Calgary. I'm going to get nicked. And, you know, and then the tour's over." And I was like, no. And I mean, like, yeah. He was drunk, he was high, he was blathering. And I just, like, again, it was another one of those things. I'm just going to plant a flag right there. And so
that's the Bart Simpson meme. What an odd thing to say.
And then when I saw that arrest last night it was like midnight Eastern Standard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what he meant. Oh, and then the Save Tommy thing was like out. Like, they had a domain name. They had it ready to go. Like, it was boom. And Alexa was like, "Save Tommy so fast." And
blink and you'll miss it.
Give me a lawyer. And I was like, that's what getting nicked meant. And then, and so I knew right there in the core of me that that is staged. That is a lie. Like, all of this is shenanigans. He said it to me. He said it to me. I was there. He was intoxicated. It slipped out. So I went to bed last night, like, kind of upset, feeling that, you know, I've just been a witness to a lie. And actually, I got a, like, a text and, like, this morning, and, you know, and I felt really conflicted about what to do, because they told me, like, shut up about this debauchery, Beth, and shut up. And I had promised to shut up about the debauchery. But once they did the SaveTommy.com and they started, like, I'm like, that's how you make your $80,000, folks, right there.
Yep.
So now you're getting all these grannies. And I know my mom was one of those grannies, like, oh, Tommy, don't hurt Tommy. It's one thing to dupe, you know, but, you know, you're duping my people. And I feel for the grandmothers that are opening up their wallets right now, and they're like, save Tommy, you know? And I'm like, Grandma, don't you dare, like, you know, close up your wallet. You're being had. Tommy, if you are doing drugs and you're doing drugs with prostitutes, like, you're not defending women. Who runs these brothels? Like, it is Muslims, it is Indians, it's the Chinese. Who are they exploiting? Like, marginalized, maybe some white girls, minority girls. Like, you're exploiting women, and you're supposed to be out there defending our, like, defending our white girls, you know, from Rotherham. Like, that was the line for me. It's like, you're actually betraying us, and you're betraying my girls. And I know that that's not how you guys roll. And so that's, I've said what I've said. I've done it now.
Yeah. So did they go through with it? No, of course they did. Look at this. Tommy Robinson. Verdict. Those pulling the strings from above refused any leeway so I could finish my tour of Canada events. Even trying changing the law to suit their narrative. However, Ezra provided a great lawyer who called them out. I'll be seeing them in court. The fight continues. Blah, blah, blah. Send us money. Send us all your money. Yeah, scam artists or what? Like, if you're dumb enough to send rebel Jews money, I don't know what to say, man. They're Jews. You know, it's all about the shuckles, right? All the time, all the time. Now, on to another subject. I don't know if you actually watched the debate with Trump and Biden. I'm sure this is what it seemed like to most people.
Our candidates will instead compete to win over Benjamin Netanyahu, the foreign leader who actually decides elections in our sham of a democracy.
Gentlemen, you have 90 seconds. Go!
Believe me, I'll send you the best, most beautiful weapons. Tanks, jets, you name it.
Come on, man. I'll completely defund the ICC and the ICJ. You can't get charged with genocide if there's no group that can... If there's no group that can preside over a genocide.
Oh, please, Joe. BB, listen. I'll let you kill thousands of babies. So many babies.
I'll give you my own son, Obama. I mean Hunter.
I'll let you kill Ivanka's children, BB.
I'll speed deliver baby-killing artillery shells, BB. White phosphorus, cluster bombs, all of it.
You know what? I won't just expedite your weapon shipments. I'll let you ethnically cleanse all of Gaza and even parts of Egypt.
I'll make sure that I'll make sure AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign agent.
I will invade Iran for you.
I will cancel free speech.
I will kill every student protester in America.
Enough of this metaphorical dick sucking. I will actually suck your dick.
No, believe me, you don't want him sucking your dick. He can't finish the job. I'll suck your dick. Hey.
Wow, there you have it, folks. Both presidents are literally sucking Netanyahu's dick.
Well, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East.
That's great, Mr. President, but he likes it when you stroke the shaft.
Cradle the balls.
Here's another one to keep it going, Mr. President. Good work.
Now, I don't want to spread hopium, but there was something very odd that happened at the very end of that debate. Now, as this was the closing statement, I can't believe that this is a misspoken accident. But what does it mean? I don't know, man. You tell me.
He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do, only does this make our country unsafe by allowing millions and millions of people to pour in. Our military doesn't respect him. We look like fools in Afghanistan. We didn't stop Israel. It was such a horrible thing that would have never happened. It should have never happened.
Now, what I'm worried about is that we're going to see a change of batters, right? We're going to see a bunch of right-wingers come to power. And they're all going to be Zionists, and they're going to show for Israel, and they're going to try to send us to war, and we're supposed to rally behind them because, you know, we got so sick of the leftist propaganda and the psyops that we've been living through since the COVID hoax and all that election heist and all that crap, you know, we're going to forget about everything and go fight for Israel. But I'm telling you, it's not going to happen, man. It's not. But check this out. Here's Marie Le Pen, the one that is coming to power, or probably coming to power in France. And yes, another Zionist, unfortunately. Sorry.
Mais le Frangin a toujours été sioniste. Le Frangin a toujours été pour la création de l'État d'Israël.
So, is everything we're seeing part of the Jew plan? Get us to go to war for them? Well, here's a clip from a guy named Benjamin Freeman. It's from 1961. Apparently, he was a Jew who converted to Christianity and then spilled the beans about their plans. And tell me, does this sound true to you? Or is this what we're living through right now?
Christian boys are going to be yanked out of their homes, away from their families, and sent abroad to fight in Palestine against the Christian and Muslim Arabs who merely want to return to their homes. And these Christian boys are going to be asked to shoot to kill these innocent people who only want to follow out 15 resolutions passed by United Nations in the last 12 years, calling upon the Zionists to allow these people to return to their homes. Now, when the United States troops appear in the Middle East to fight with the Zionists as their allies to prevent the return of these people who were evicted from their homes in the 1948 armed insurrection by the Zionists who were transplanted there from Eastern Europe, when that happens, the United States will trigger World War III.
Now, I'm sure that was their plan. That's what they wanted to happen. But I don't think it's going to. Number of reasons. One, people are waking up to the Jew big time. And another reason, number two, I guess, or this probably should be number one because it's even bigger, that Russia is going to deliver the kill shot that's going to make this impossible to happen. And do you remember, okay, this is going from memory, so if I don't get it perfect, you know, it's going from memory. But the secret of Fatima, where the three sisters, apparently there was an apparition in the sky, and they had a vision from the Virgin Mary. And one of the things that they discussed was that Russia, if they turn back to Christianity, now this is back before Soviet times and stuff like that, when Russia became completely evil and run by Jews, but they said if Russia turns back to Christianity, that they would save the world, and if they went the other way, then they would be the downfall and destruction of the world. Well, clearly Russia's went back to Christianity. And they're going to deliver the kill shot very soon, like within months, I think before the election. And what's the kill shot? They're going to take down the fiat, funny money, Babylonian money magic system, the U.S. dollar. And with it, the ability to for the Jews to corrupt the world.
And oh, by the way, he's going after the currency. He's been working as part of the BRICS, trying to work with non-aligned nations to establish essentially a new condominium, a consortium that competes against the G7, and doing well. The Moscow Exchange and other things. And one last thing I want to throw in regarding that is that they are now working with the Saudis to remove the dollar as the fiat currency for all global energy transactions. That's huge. That happened last week. Nobody here's talking about it, Judge, but this is all because Russia's playing their cards very effectively, and we've got the high school debating team in charge not playing at all.
A great analysis.
Is the collapse of the U.S. empire a prerequisite for Israel to stop its genocide? Would Israel's economy have enough resources and time to build up a local arms industry in such a case? The collapse of the U.S. empire will have a significant, very dramatic effect on Israel, because the collapse of the U.S. empire means the collapse of the U.S. dollar. The day the dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, that will be catastrophic for the American empire, because we won't be able to fund it, people won't buy our debt, and it will be catastrophic for Israel. Would Israel's economy have enough resources? I can't answer that question, except that right now the Israeli military is completely interdependent on the U.S. arms industry, and without the U.S. arms industry, would not be able to continue to prosecute this genocide.
Have you noticed that Viktor Orban and Hungary seem pretty based? Like, they didn't go along with the Ukraine or Jukraine PSYOP, and they've been opposing everything from the beginning. Do you think that maybe this might have something to do with them being awake to the Jew? Here's a part of history that I bet you didn't know.
It was essentially an anti-Jewish revolution and not an anti-communist revolution to begin with for the first few days. The Hungarian people regarded that their government in the 1950s as being a Jewish government. And they regarded the secret police, the dreaded Államvédelmi Hatóság, the AVH, as being a Jewish secret police. And essentially it was, because when the Red Army entered Hungary in 1945, they brought back into Hungary all the Jews who had taken refuge in the Soviet Union. And they were the ones who got the plum jobs, and they were the ones who got the trustworthy jobs as secret police chiefs and as torturers. And that's why the Jews were so hated in Hungary by 1956, because they were regarded as the people who had inflicted this nameless misery on the Hungarian people. And so the uprising began as an anti-Jewish uprising. Every one of the Hungarian leaders at that time in 1956, Rákosi and Farkas and Győr and the rest of the Hungarian leaders, they were all Jews. And I never realized that when I set out to write it. It's an extraordinary fact, the way these things are kept away from the public consciousness. In particular, the local population had bitter scores to settle with the Jews, because during the 1 year when those countries were occupied from 1940 to 1941 under the Hitler-Stalin Pact, they were occupied by the Soviet Union, the NKVD, which was the secret police, the forerunner of the KGB, had occupied those three countries with a reign of terror, and using largely Jewish officers, because the KGB or the NKVD was largely Jewish officered at that time, they had carried out a rule of liquidation and purge in those three countries, murdering hundreds of thousands of local middle-class entrepreneurs. The priests, the businessmen, the intellectuals were rounded up, driven off at dead of night by the communists, by these Jewish organizations, and murdered. And a year later, when Hitler's armies invaded and marched through these countries, they found the local population busy solving the Jewish problem for them, taking revenge. Nobody likes talking about that now, but if you read the records, particularly the German military records, where the reports are coming to Hitler's headquarters saying, when we arrived in Riga, we found the local population busy exterminating the Jews, what shall we do? And from Hitler's headquarters, back goes a signal saying, don't interfere. Don't interfere. This is the true story of what happened, it's an unpopular.
Yep, everything is not as it seems, man. I'm going to give you a clip here, two clips. One is Palestinians waving a swastika, and the next is the Yemeni Houthis giving the salute, the Roman salute, the Nazi salute. How cool is this?
وحنعمل سواتر وحنظلنا مستمرون في الانتفاضة وحنظلنا مستمرون في لواء الوسطى ومستمرون في شرط المحيطة بالقرص ويعلم العالم
الله أكبر الله 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 الله
ابن حسين
حسين احمد ابن حسين
اللهم انا مولاي.
Now I'm going to include this clip because it's freaking badass, man. I've never seen nothing like this before. This is awesome. It's, again, things are not, like we're told, a bunch of goat herders, right? The Taliban. Well, they're supposed to be, they said they're going to back up Hezbollah, and they're going to go into Israel if Israel attacks Lebanon. So I guess we'll see if that happens. Hopefully we'll see, but this is incredible, man. Tell me if you've seen this before. This is just crazy stuff. And I think this one goes with the theme of this show.
When most of us were dead and Germany went dark, we thought you'd know the truth by now. There's nothing but the claims, no ashes in the ground, no real gas chambers were ever found. Aren't you all sick of blaming Nazis? Don't leave any unturned stone. Read about Kristallnacht, pour the truth of Hitler's understand history is warped by the Jews. You should all know by now. I guess no Jews. Oh, it's the truth. Yeah, yeah. We tried to save our race. We fought that war with grace. But the Jews, they helped our foes. We did our best to fight with the coming mess, but our enemy sunk so low. They killed most of our civilians and left the rest with no homes. Read of Ernst Sandel's plight, how he had to fight for the right to speak the truth about all those lying Jews. Thrown into jail for
truth. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the truth shouldn't be so confusing. And to learn it frees up your mind. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Today, Patriots, and you know, I wouldn't be able to do this without your support. I'm truly grateful for everybody that's contributed. I know times are tough for everybody, but if you've been blessed and you appreciate the work that I'm doing, you know, I am trying to save humanity here, I'm trying to save us Goyim from being all becoming like Gaza. Because that is their plans for us. They want us to die for them. And it ain't going to happen. And the reason for that is from people. It's because of people. I'm not the only one. I'm certainly not. I might began this a while ago and was maybe slightly ahead of the curve. But there's others. There's definitely others. And together, we're waking people up to the imminent threat and the fact that we are all living under a Zionist occupied government. So if you can support to keep this mission going, here's the magical link, givesendgo.com/sonofenos. The mailing address is in the description. Again, if you're going to send me something, put the name marketing or no name at all on it, because you know, I'm a ghost and I want to keep it that way. And also, I'd like to thank the one person that sent me this. It's a meditation book on the sayings of Jesus. I'm going to a funeral next couple days. An uncle of mine died, and yeah, he was jabbed. So, you know, the Jew jab takes another another soul. Sad stuff, you know. Maybe I'll read some of this during, you know, while I'm there. Yeah, just this crime against humanity just doesn't seem to end. But I truly believe we're getting close to the end game. You know, like, I don't think we have years in this. I think we have maybe a few months. Definitely before November, we're going to see some big changes. You know, I don't think there's going to be an election. That's my opinion. As far as Trump, hey, man, you know, you can draw your own conclusions. You know, he has been saying some things, like he's going to investigate into the increase in autism and into the jabs and vaccines and stuff like that. So, you know, that's encouraging. And I played that clip of what he said, that he would have stopped Israel, not Hamas. He said he would stop Israel. That's encouraging. But at the same time, you know, this game is for keeps, and we can't afford to be stupid. And, you know, as long as he's not saying we're going to go fight for Israel, you know, that's the line in the sand for me. Until then, I'm on the fence. I'm not going to cheerlead either way. You know, that's for each person to make up their own decisions on. You know, because honestly, man, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have secret sources. I'm just a guy that does this show. You know, I'm good at analyzing stuff. I studied journalism. I kind of, this is my my life now, you know. Like, I'm living as a recluse in a, on a, in a farmer's field. Oh, I'm also that fellow that's close. Sorry, I haven't been able to Skype, but you know, death in the family and stuff like that. But definitely want to check out your community that you're talking about. See what that's all about. If like I don't know what it's about, so we'll see. And if there's something cool there, I'll bring it to you guys. If not, it's still cool to meet people, so why not? Especially awake people or people that are awake to the Jew, definitely. You know, because we're making a difference here, man. We really are. Every one of us that's naming the Jew and that is speaking the truth, even though people might not be ready to hear it, every one of us that's doing that, putting our necks out there, is making a difference. And, you know, we're going to win this. They are not. God hates them, man. They're from the devil. God hates them. So, till next time, we are the news now. Peace.